We're playing GURPS. We're playing Awaken the God Emperor.
Are you certain, though?
So, thank you. So, the party has decided to go to a party. See what I did there? And, okay. And the party has elected... So Graham is still missing. And the party's elected that Tariq is not going to attend this little house party because... What was the reason?
He's the eater. He didn't sleep.
No, Tariq would bring too
out of
much
place.
Yeah, too much too
Tariq
much attention.
Wanted to discuss more with Carmen about the missing Westerling.
No.
No.
What? Okay.
Tariq the party elected that Tariq should not attend this party as it would just cause unneeded confusion and attention with the Westerling being there, and Tariq is retiring to Naren's Keep. And the rest of the party, meaning Junia, Pierre, and Hrok, are going to be attending Vern's little house party, his little ale party, in order to, correct me if I'm wrong, inform Vern that while they are celebrating that Naren is supposedly Naren and the prophecy are supposedly helping them, while they are celebrating this, they are going to be informed by the party that they are in fact not being supported by the party and Naren, and they've moved in a different direction. And so
we're about to get murdered so hard.
The worst case scenario, Pierre is like stabbed to death in the middle of the party.
Yeah, so yeah, going to try to convince them to help.
All right.
I believe.
I wish to roll ahead of time for alcoholism, where I will attempt to not drink during the party.
No, we're not there yet.
Okay. Just
yeah. What if there's no
to the scene,
Ivan? Ivan. What if there is no?
I want
to. Well, yeah.
I don't want to roll ahead of time for my nightmares.
No, but it's not. It's not. I want to do a concerted effort to avoid drinking, like once I go to this party. Is what I mean.
Right, but
I want to mentally prepare before going.
Yeah,
and,
but
like, tell Pierre not to.
It removes.
That's not how you disadvantage.
No, I still roll for it.
Knowing.
That's not how you disadvantage.
No, I still roll for it. I know. I'll still roll for it. It's just I don't. I'll probably forget about it. So that's why I say.
I ask you to roll when we get there, and then you're going to roll.
Okay, that's fine then.
And if I forget, then you need to remember that we need to roll.
Well, I just. Okay.
So the party arrives at the party. You see what I did there? And it's gonna get farty. It's gonna get funnier every time. So, Vern's house is a modest establishment in the middle of the Penwright's residential, or one of Penwright's many residential districts. It's you see that you can immediately identify that it is his as you approach the location that you were told the party would be at, and see that dozens of people, maybe around 15 to 20 people are pouring outside of the house and standing, in like the little alleys next to the building, and in like the little patches of grass surrounding it, basically the exterior of the property. It seems like the party has like been so huge and so packed that it's like poured outside of his house a little bit. As you're approaching, you see one old man sitting in like on a barrel, smoking some sort of substance out of a pipe, and just sort of sitting, minding his own business, and there's all sorts of various different walks of life attending the party. You do notice that you do see many, or several women here. You do note that as a significant change from the last meeting.
Boo!
And so, the party approaches the party, and you see what I did there? And
oh.
No one laughed but you.
So good! And you set up the steps to up to his porch. Nobody questions you or anything. There's no one like guarding the door or anything. And you just walk through the doorway, you immediately see that this place is very crowded. It's very loud. There is music playing from somewhere, but you've not ascertained from where yet. And you walk in and you're immediately like you're immediately shoulder to shoulder with people and try to like get your way in deeper. You have to really wade through like the crowd of people and see people coming in and out. You see as you walk in, one man stumbles past Roke, who's in the back of the like line of the three of you. He stumbles past you and like stumbles like through you, bumping into you as he passes you, and you see him like stumble over to the railing of the porch and curl over it as he begins to hurl up vomit, and you hear it splotch down onto the grass below over the railing. And you see most people have mugs or cups. You can just walking in, you just smell the stench of ale like caked onto like the floor and the walls and just emanating from everyone's breath and cups and everything. And yeah, everyone's got a big smile on their face. They're having a good time. You see people from all sorts of walks of life. Besides, I guess, the uber wealthy elites, you don't see anyone dressed like that. And yeah, you eventually make your way deeper into the party. The party eventually makes their way deeper into the party and arrives to like the center sort of like living room and sees that there's like a small portable stage that's been set up where a band of four musicians are playing. And they sound pretty good. You've definitely heard better musicians at some point during your journeys. You're now in the heart of the party. You've not spotted Vern, Junie, and Pierre. Roke, you don't know what Vern looks like. It's so loud in here that if you guys are to speak with each other, you have to yell to one another. Junie, you see immediately where the ale is being distributed. There's some collections of barrels. Yes. No. You see that people keep coming in from the back door opposite of where you entered with lots of mugs of ale. Like, some people are walking in with, like, carrying, like, four mugs at a time and handing them out to people and whatnot. And a lot of people are going that way, and you ascertain that they all... lots of them have empty mugs. So people coming out from that way have full mugs, and people going that way have empty mugs. And you infer from this information that it is likely that that is where the ale is coming from. Please roll alcoholism.
I rolled a 9!
Nice. We resist. Junia successfully resists the temptation.
For once.
To follow that lead. But how would the party like to proceed from here?
Well, I mean, I remember that his wife was the one who made the ale, and his wife is likely near him. So maybe we actually go follow where the alcohol is coming from.
Anyways, if you say so, I should follow you. Certainly changed accents, but who cares?
Okay, so you're going out that way? Okay, so yeah, you push past people. As you're going by, Pierre, you see to your right Arlo. Arlo was the separatist leader who wanted to secede alongside a West Penrite, either unified or not. He thought that East Penrite should not secede on its own, but West Penrite should secede as well, and that they should work together.
Just the right guy to run into.
You see, he's talking with... he's actually talking with three... beautiful young maidens, and they're all drinking ale and laughing as they're speaking with one another. It seems he's telling them some sort of story.
Do you think, does
you've it... not gotten out of the house yet, by the way. You've not gotten out of the house yet, by the way, just to clarify.
Do we see the source of where all this alcohol is coming from yet?
Roll perception. Yeah, roll perception.
I rolled a 16. Fail of E.
You cannot yet. There's... one large man, he's tall and wide, standing in front of you. He like came out of nowhere right in front of you, and you've been like 2 inches behind his like sweaty back. He's actually bare chested. You can like see the sweat glistening off of him, and he was walking carrying six empty mugs at once, three in each hand. And he's like slowly making his way through the crowd, kind of stumbling. He's clearly had a lot to drink and is clearly pretty damn intoxicated. And so he's blocking your vision of the door and what's outside of the door.
Mm, interesting clientele. All right, Junior Rook, do you guys have something on your mind?
How are we going to abort
him? I'm kind of just following at this point.
I feel like we probably should have spoken before entering that, but still.
It's all good.
Why is my voice deep now?
We're just going to keep pushing through the crowd and heading kind of forward through the house into... What room was ahead of us, Jack?
The backyard.
Yeah.
He goes outside.
Let's push into the backyard.
Well, what do we tell him?
It's all right.
What are we looking for?
We're looking for Nern. He's honestly a
What does he look like?
He's not a very descriptionable person. He looks like a dude.
So if I hear the word Nern, let you guys know.
Vern,
that's who we're looking for.
Also, Jack, I removed an FP point because it is past 7 p.m.
Lost
sleep.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, yeah, it's currently 8:20 in the night. Or 20:20 if you want to go by the 24-hour clock.
I do.
So, you eventually make your way outside of the door and head down these, like, rickety steps. As you're walking down... This one man is walking up, and he bumps into Junia, and a quarter of a mug of ale sloshes onto her your chest, Junia, and you just immediately the smell of ale fills your nostrils, and you're sitting there fighting all like every urge to ask for his mug as payment and to like suck it out of your clothes and
carry dual levels of alcoholism.
And the man looks up and he says, "Oh, I'm so sorry, miss. I'm so sorry. Here." And actually, yeah, actually, he offers. You see, he was carrying two mugs, and he offers you the full one that he did not spill. He says, "Here. I'm so sorry. Take this. You don't have to wait in line."
I grab it anyways out of politeness, but it's all right. It's all right. Thank you. I look. Once he's walked away, I look, where has my cat gone? Where the fuck is my...
What?
Someone removed my cat.
What?
Someone shot the cat. Okay, anyways.
You okay?
Once he's gone...
You just look into this man's eyes and say that.
No.
My cat's gone.
I just shot my cat.
I just shot a cat.
With what, madam? An arrow?
A handgun.
I got you.
Once he's gone, I look at Pierre and Rogue and ask, "What have you two wanted? I don't think it's good for me to do it tonight."
Yeah, I'll take it from you.
My hesitation is like, that needs to be out of your hands immediately.
Yeah.
If you did not do that, I was going to make you roll alcoholism plus
ask
3.
Ask the gentleman where the line is coming from.
You can see it.
Oh, fuck. Hell yeah.
Yeah, so and there's this like wide backyard. Which is pretty unusual for the city. It's usually much denser than this. A space where you could fit a whole other house, although awkwardly. And it's this expanse of grass behind the house. There's a fence surrounding it, so you can't get in any other way but entering the house from the front and then going out through the back door. And you see out here there's another like 30 people standing. And you see there's to your right... against the fence is two tables, each with two barrels, and there are four people handing out mugs. And you see there are people quickly, carrying a full, what's the name of like the barrels of ale?
Keg?
Anchored.
Yeah, keg. Carrying keg. Little kegs of ale over and like pouring them in to refill the barrels. And then, like, taking the empty kegs away. And they seem to be, like, going into, like, some sort of cellar that's beneath the... that's beneath the house that leads to presumably some sort of basement where they store the ale. And
an ale cellar, perhaps.
You see that there are three people... there's four people handing out mugs, one of which is Vern's wife. However, you do not actually roll perception, Pierre and Junia.
9 of 13, successor 4.
Failure of 5.
You do not see... Okay, yeah. So, Junia, you are trying to look for Vern, but your mind is distracted. by the smell of the ale on your clothes and having just held it and having and choosing to give away free alcohol and just deciding to try and avoid alcohol at this giant
Junia's staring at Pierre as he winks at her and gulps down the entire tanker right in front of her.
You know that soldier image that's like in the middle of the war? That's Junia right now.
Your mind is distracted. You're trying so hard and focusing so hard to resist all of the urges within you. Your brain has been hijacked by the desire for alcohol, and you are trying to resist the urges, and are succeeding. Pierre, you spot the fact that you cannot spot Vern.
What the fuck is that grammar?
Yeah, but okay. You do spot his wife.
I guess I could go up to his wife.
I did forget to mention. I neglected to mention that there are two lines. There is one main line that splits off into the two tables, and it is at least 30 people long. Mm-hmm. And it seems like a long wait. Like, not super long. It'll probably take, like, judging from how the line is moving, you estimate it'll take 5 to 10 minutes to get to the front.
Well, this is nothing different than the other lines I've been in for alcohol, so I suppose if it's the line to get closer to her, that...
So, you enter the line, wait a few minutes, you get up to the front that splits off towards the two tables, and when it is your turn to, go, the spot that is open is not, is the table where his wife is not.
Fuck.
But you can let, all three of you are in line together, you could let the person behind all three of you cut you.
Yeah, I want to do that.
You gesture to the gentleman and gesture for him to pass you, and he's really confused. And Junia and Roke are just kind of blindly staring. Roke is just kind of confusedly staring at him, trying to like figure out like who this like trying to see if he can somehow find Vern somewhere, and is like kind of confused because he does not know any of these people. And Junia is not even looking at him. Junia is thousand yard stare. Directly ahead, locking in. You actually see a bead of sweat forming and falling down Junia's brow.
This is a Roke right now.
And the man looks very confused as he walks past all three of you in the front of the line to get at the spot. And then eventually, the spot where Vern's wife is opened up. And what, do all three of you approach at once?
Yes.
No. Alright, all three of you approach Vern's wife. And she looks at him and says, oh, one at a time, sorry. Hey, it's you! And she points at you, Pierre, and smiles.
Hello. We've actually come to see your husband, but we actually have no idea where he is. If you could point us in the right direction, that'd be incredibly helpful.
Oh, how have you been?
You mean you... Oh, I've been fine, dearie. How have you been?
It's been alright. It's a bit of trying to cut back a bit, since I've been drinking a lot, but this is quite hard here, because it's all... spelling so good and stuff. Anyhow, I'm happy to hear you're quite all right.
Yeah, I'm great, dear. And you see, she fills a mug with ale, and hands it out to you, Junia. Offers it out, and you see, she tilts down to like a little. There's a big metal bucket with all sorts of different coins, mostly bronze, a few silver. You see, like one gold. You see zero gold in there. It's just mostly bronze with a few silvers. And she says, we're accepting donations for the ale and for what's coming in the future. She winks at Pierre specifically.
Like I said, I need to see your husband.
Yes, yes. You mean you didn't, and then as she says this, you hear from behind you a man barrel out, "Stop chit-chatting! I need a mug of ale!" And she immediately, she gets interrupted and distracted and looks behind you and starts yelling at him and berating him, telling him to shut his trap. And eventually, you see, she walks away from you as the man begins to yell back. And she walks up and she gets up in his face and is screaming at him and pointing and screaming and telling him to get out of the line. And the three of you are just standing awkwardly looking at each other. And he is... eventually gives in to her will and turns and leaves the line. And she says, like, "Don't come back. I better not see you here again." And then she comes back and she brushes her hands and looks up to you and says, "Sorry, so much was going on recently. What were we talking about again?"
"Husband, I need to see him."
"Yes, man. Did you not see him on the way in?"
"No."
He's playing the fiddle with the band."
"All right then, thank you." Pierre is gonna go walk towards the music.
"Would you like a mug of ale?"
"Yes, long gone."
But she also like calls out to Roker Junior.
"Sure, I'll take one."
He hands you a mug of ale, Roke.
I immediately.
"Are you going to put any money in the donation bucket?"
When she implied that it was donations, did I get the sense that it was required, or
do you have any skills to ascertain what kind of donation this is?
I do. I have body language.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, roll body language plus one.
It's less, right? I've been playing too much role this game.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I got it by...
Yeah, you got it.
4.
Nice. You could tell that it's a donation, but it is highly strongly encouraged. Okay. She would be very disappointed if she gave you away this ale for free.
I'm going to take my one bronze out, and I'm going to throw it into the... Yes!
You had one bronze, and you...
"My last bronze coin!"
"What you found under the, like, stairs?"
"Yes, it's my lucky coin."
"It was a lucky game with Andy."
"Yeah,
you flicked the one bronze, and she smiles half-heartedly. You can tell she's disappointed that's all you flicked in, but at least you paid something."
"I just like, give, like, a really awkward grin, and..."
I like the idea that Roke, like, upturns their coin purse, and all that comes out is a single bronze.
I'm gonna, like, hold my mug in my left hand and firmly grab Junia on her arm and start guiding her after Pierre.
Hey, you already, like, mug ale.
I'm gonna take a drink, and I'm just gonna look really awkwardly.
Alright, so another, so far, like, 20 minutes have passed since you've arrived. And another, like, 15 passed as you're trying to get your way towards... Actually, yeah, what are you going to do? How are you proceeding from here?
I'm going towards the music.
Makes sense. Okay.
I love music.
You head to the music and see that Vern is, in fact, playing the fiddle with the band. And he's you know, tapping his foot along to the music, fiddling along. They're playing a fast tune right now. There's people dancing and bumping into each other and cheering and sloshing. The ale is sloshing in their mugs and spilling onto the floor and their faces and their shoes. And many people, especially closer to the band, are very intoxicated. Have had many mugs of ale and are dancing, having a good time. Singing and screaming at each other, and you see young couples like spinning around and dancing, and you even see like one old couple like lightly tapping their feet together and doing some slow moves with one another, and it's a very, very wonderful vibe. The energy is immaculate in this party.
Just focusing.
Pierre's gonna stand closer to the band assembly on the side, like away from the dancing, and just try to make eye contact with Mr. Fiddle player. Basically, just gonna look at him until he ever looks up from the audience, or until he stops playing. Either one.
I'm gonna awkwardly stare at just a random guy in the band because I have no clue who we're looking
at. You can see who Pierre is.
Bald guy.
The fiddle is, and heard that it's the fiddler.
The fiddler man. Is a bald man in his mid-40s.
If we had sight of them, we could be dancing right now instead of standing awkwardly.
I do That's have
what I'm illustrating, yeah.
If I combine my sex appeal and acting to start, like, making a move.
On who? So yeah, Pierre, you eventually... Vern, actually, he's dancing, looking around, but eventually in his peripheral, he realizes that there's this man who's been standing still as a statue for 4 minutes straight, unblinking, staring into his soul. And he looks down,
he sees
the stone-cold stare of this middle-aged, heavily bearded man, his eyes wide and piercing, his mouth in a deep, serious frown.
The person next to him also staring in the same manner.
His brow is slightly furrowed, emphasizing the wrinkles in his forehead. And he looks down, he's startled, and he immediately drops his bow of his fiddle as he's like taken aback. He jumps scared by the horror of your face. And
God.
He has to bend down and pick it up again, but he actually since he drops it, he looks down at it, looks at the rest of the band, and he lowers the fiddle down to his side and leans in and says, "Hey, are you all right?"
Oh, to me?
Yelling over the rest of the band. Yes.
Pierre yells, "I need to speak to you, Vern, in private."
Okay, yes. Is it urgent?
It's incredibly urgent.
All right. He looks to the rest of his band and nods to them and gestures and communicates through body language, and then puts his he swings his fiddle over his shoulder and his bow and takes it, and he swings them over his shoulder. Actually, he carries his fiddle down by his side and swings his bow over his shoulder, and steps down with you and says, "Follow me." And begins to lead you towards the backyard door, and you see that as he is leading you, people get out of his way in the direction that he's going. It's almost it's like Moses parting the Red Sea. Exactly. people just sort of as soon as they see him, they see the work where he's going, and they just step out of the way, and they're much more willing to I gotta close fucking general. I gotta make a gifts channel on this fucking server.
It helps. It helps to visualize it.
People are generally more willing to get out of his way, and are very respectful of him. He carries a lot of authority here, and so he leads you out of the house. And once you get outside, it's definitely more quieter outside. He looks back at you and says, "Sai, usually we go upstairs, but there's so many people that we've let the upstairs, we've made the upstairs available too. This is the largest party we've ever had. People are very excited." And he smiles and winks at you as he says that, almost nodding, or most definitely implying, like, you know why they're very excited.
Pierre does not smile nor wink back.
Rogue smiles back.
And so he leads you and says, "Most private place I know would be either getting out of here or, he doesn't say that. He says, "Most private place I know would be down here in the cellar." He leads you around the corner of the exterior of the building and towards these, the two open, wooden doors. And he walks up, and you see there's a young girl, eight. Actually, 10. She's, 10 years old. Running up the stairs really quickly, carrying a keg of ale on her shoulder, and she looks up and says, "Oh, hey, Papa!" And he looks down and pats her on the shoulder and smiles and says, "Go on, run off to your mother now." And she runs off past him, and he leads you down the stairs into the cellar. And you see, as you walk in, you immediately smell ale, and you just see so many barrels that have been produced, and you see all of this seems to be the place where his wife brews it. And he leads you into a side room that is more private. So he approaches this old wooden door and opens it, and it scrapes on the the stone floor of the basement cellar. And he opens it halfway and squeezes his way in. Actually, he sets back and lets the three of you enter first, and then squeezes his way in and closes it, scrapes it closed behind him, and then shuts the door shut, and immediately you can only faintly hear the party above you, and you can hear, you look up, and you can hear, the wood of the ceiling above you creaking from all of the stepping and dancing on top of it, and you can faintly hear the music pouring out of it, and as you look up, you even see some dust from the ceiling, get unsettled and fall down onto your face from all of the people on top. So it seems like you're, directly below, the living room where the band is and all the dancing. And so he pulls up a stool and sits down and says, "Sorry, there's only one stool in here, so feel free to sit on the floor," he gestures. "So what'd you need to talk about? Is it truly that serious?"
"Yeah. Yes. It pertains quite heavily to, everything going on here. I will come to you as an honest individual. I'm not fronting anything here. Word for word, the truth. We spoke with Naren about your predicament and your requests and your wishes, and it had come to our attention that you were, at one point or another, the chosen route for Naren. Until we had a secondary meeting with Carmen. I'm not sure if you're familiar with her."
"Carmen, yes."
"Yes.
Yeah, Carmen the Healer.
Carmen the Healer. She's a wonderful woman. I don't know if you've ever had an experience of spending time
I've with. Heard good things.
She's a brilliant person. and she laid out her plan. And as it may, unfortunately, she's given way too many points that invalidate the route of separation. The ideals of an independent Penrite are no longer worth, they're no longer possible, especially with Naren having also chosen to go through Carmen as well. Thus, you are no longer the person he wishes to work closely with, and your demands will not be met. However, I come to you not as a messenger, but as someone who hopes to still work with you. I understand you may feel diminished, and I understand you probably feel hate. I don't blame you. You have to realize from a pragmatic perspective, this is the only way forward. We get away from the east, we turn to the west, merely as a defense. You separate now, there's no one left gonna defend you. I'm sorry, but East Penrite on its own cannot defend against the entirety of the east. We didn't speak definitively about this, but we had greater conversations. It is 100% going to happen. The East will invade the West. We are the only ones to stop that. And the first up on the chopping block will likely be Penrite. You cannot defend it without the West.
Roll diplomacy.
All right.
Roll diplomacy minus one.
Minus. That means I'm rolling 4 and 10 out of 11, successive one.
You see he rubs his eyes and sort of looks down. He's rubbing his nose. And he just looks really disappointed and defeated. He looks up and he says, okay, so he plans to bend the knee.
Yes, and the position. Well, I should be more clear with you. There seems to be some disagreement on the exact plan. It's likely that Naren will never publicly announce his fealty until the war begins, mainly as a defense mechanism. It will allow or a more militaristic approach in terms of battle. That's not fully definitive, but what would be incredibly helpful is if you could sit in on these meetings and you control a vast number of people. With your influence, you would serve an incredible purpose on being heard and also present for some of these meetings with Carmen. I'm sure Naren would happily allow you to be there and happily work with you as long as you A, agree to be there, but B, agree to work with us and Carmen on swearing fealty to the West. If you cannot come to those terms, he'll likely never work with you ever again.
He stands up and he looks at you. He's towers over you, Pierre. He looks down at you and his face is very grave and serious and he says, I'll be back in a little bit. And he turns and he dramatically slowly scrapes the door open and then squeezes through and slowly scrapes it shut behind him.
It just has like a whole disappointed face since she, even when the others kind of agreed on I forgot her name.
Carmen.
She's still always just supported, just going for the Severus cause, and she's just very just like in down about having to see this happen. She did believe in just what they were spouting, I suppose.
It wasn't going to be a good meeting either way. There was going to be some unhappy feelings spread between us.
No, but I still kind of hope that. I don't know.
You have
I don't know.
You sat in on that meeting with Carmen. It is pragmatically the best choice for them to take. Emotions aside, I fully agree with everything the Separatists stand for. Unfortunately, the timing is just god-awful.
Yeah, what if we succeed before the war happens?
And what? The West will be... No one will be happy
I
with
guess,
the succession.
Yeah.
This would be an historic moment that would likely be fallen to the pages of history as the East would soon conquer its territory back and subjugate the people Ooh. Under another Nern. Irvern,
You're
who would
right.
probably be worse.
You're right.
Asher, roll area knowledge plus 3.
Yeah, I got you. Area knowledge plus 3. I succeed.
You also know that East and West Penrite really have a tense relationship, which has at times, even in your life and in recent history, has boiled to armed conflict. giving them a unified enemy very well, and just having the same liege lord and no longer being politically separated as well as geographically and culturally, could ease those tensions and really do a lot of good between, you know, and the two Penrites could work together and help each other and trade more and no longer shoot each other with arrows and throw catapults that kill your little sisters. So that's just another very important point.
This is the best thing that you think about. The best thing for us to do, okay, Junia?
I will follow your lead.
Yeah, we just wait, I suppose, until Vern comes back. Mm-hmm. If it takes an extraordinary amount of time and we're not conversating, I might crack open the Mad Hara rebook.
So 20 minutes have passed. Actually, 30 minutes have passed. It's been half an hour. You guys are really wondering. You do sit down, you're thinking, you crack open the book, you're reading a few pages, studying a little bit, and after about half an hour, unless anyone else would like to do or say anything.
Do I have anything left to be able to do anything?
How big is this mug that I'm holding? Do you think I can smuggle it out?
It's a pint. You could conceal that.
Steal a mug?
Bro.
From the fucking worker party.
Ivy, I don't want to hear it. We own nothing right now.
Go pawn this for a bronze, make your money back.
Yeah, I got this mug right here. You want to give me a bronze?
One bronze? Two bronze.
Oh, I forgot the copper pieces exist, right? Yeah, bronze is 10. Right, so it's mostly bronze, some coppers.
Copper.
And lots of silver.
I was freaking out. I was like, is it really bronze, not copper?
It makes me so sad that I used to have, like, 500 bucks, and now I have zero.
Didn't it all sink into the ocean, the river?
Yes, yeah. It sank in the bottom of the river.
Huge mining and stealing.
You guys could have kept all your stuff by going to the south, and you could have gotten all your stuff off the boat and escaped.
And also gotten our heads chopped off.
I had...
What ended up in the gallows, hanging.
Yeah.
I had, 1500.
I know, it was so bad for Ben. Ben didn't even get to use any of their shit.
Yeah.
They almost lost the rapier, too.
Fight for that, Mac.
You had one session with your items.
Actually, okay. I still have all my armor, because I'm not encumbered, so.
Okay, so, the door opens, and you see in walks Arlo, one of the four separatist faction leaders. Behind him enters Mead the Reader.
Oh, yes! Yes! Mead the Reader!
Who the fuck is this?
He's a big fan.
In my eyes, Mead the Reader is always just George R.R. Martin. I don't know why. I know he's been described as skinny, but no, he's like this
fat, he's like an average build.
He's like this larger, older man who always carries a book in his hand.
He's traveled around the world a lot, so he's walked a lot. But yeah, it's not to say that fat people can't have walked a lot. Yeah?
Finish your narration, but after they're done, can I just roll body language as they roll in? Because I've never seen these people before.
Yes. And then, so, behind Mead the Reader comes in Vern, and he closes, scrapes the door shut. Pierre, roll politics plus 5.
Politics plus 5?
Yeah.
Okay, fuck. Succeed by 1.
You immediately notice that Carl is not here, one of the four leaders, leader of the four factions.
Anti-Naren. Maybe he fucking didn't show up to the party. I didn't see him.
You didn't see him. You don't know.
He was pretty pissed last time I saw him at the meeting.
As you walk in, you notice that... Okay, roll body language. Let's do it individually. Roll body language plus 2 on Arlo.
Success 3.
He is... visibly intoxicated and visibly frustrated with Vern, and that he has to be here.
And now, quick question before I roll the next one. The one pint that I had, would that make any changes to my...
The one what?
I had a pint.
Oh no, one pint, you're just got a little bit of a buzz.
Okay. I'm rolling again. Four.
Mead the Reader, roll regular body language.
Success of 4.
He seems on edge. He seems calm, but very cautious. Maybe actually even a little bit anxious. His eyes are darting around frantically. He's looking at all of you. And you see that he's in particular looking at Pierre. His eyes are narrowing and he's like studying Pierre. He doesn't look angry, but he looks very focused and serious.
It'll be a fucking pretty heavy joint argument incoming.
Yeah. So Vern walks in. Carl immediately looks to Vern and says, "So, why'd you have to pry me away from those fair ladies to come down here?" You see, he's kind of slurring his speech. And he says, he puts his hand on Carl's, or not Carl, did I call him Carl? Arlo.
Me.
He puts his hand on Arlo's back and leads Arlo over to the stool and says, take a seat, Arlo. Arlo begrudgingly takes the seat. He says, whatever. You don't tell me what to do. And then Vern looks to Mead and Arlo, and then he looks to you, Pierre, and says, tell them what you told me.
You want, actually want me to repeat it in entirety?
Yes.
Oh, fuck, okay. As we were under the assumption of, Naren had previously agreed to work with Vern, adhere to his demands, and separate from the East, becoming independent. As much as I agree with this sentiment, unfortunately, we met with a woman named Carmen the Healer. I'm sure some of you may or may not know this woman, but she's a cleric who hoped to work the West and unite Penrite with the West. We spoke to her. We had no intentions of siding with her when we went to the meeting. We had been pretty dead set on our opinions about separating. And unfortunately, we met with some very valid points that changed us and Naren's point of view. Carmen presented the idea that if a war were coming from the East, separating would merely doom the Penrite people, bring their death and demise almost instantaneously. There's nothing to defend them. They have no ally, no giant army behind them. The best they can do is side with the West to protect themselves. Now that's point reason number one. Number two, fighting with the West, as hard as it may be to fathom for some of you people, uniting Penrite under one liege lord, this concept hasn't even been thought of since Penrite itself was a capital of a greater nation. Penrite has been separated my entire life, and longer than most of you have been alive. We have always had issues with the West, with West Penrite. This might finally give us a chance to ease tensions and bring a solidarity under the Penrite people. We could be unified as a city, not as a part of a city. So, with a heavy heart, we decided to work with Carmen. Naren has pledged his full army and power and influence behind Carmen. We are going to continue working with Carmen. I've come to you not only as a messenger, but I want you guys to work with us. You carry a lot of influence. You carry a lot of power, as small as it may be in comparison to larger things. You, specifically Vern, you should sit on these council meetings. You should sit with these meetings with Carmen and on the West. You carry influence. Perhaps some of your demands can be met as long as you work and pledge yourself to Carmen. So that way, we have a more unified goal that we can all work towards instead of you working against us. I hope what I've said here today does not want you to... Are you screaming Naren in general?
You said pledge to Carmen.
Sorry, what did you say?
You said pledge to Carmen. I'm like, no, I don't think it's Carmen.
Well, wouldn't
would not be happy to hear.
They're sort of.
Isn't that virtually the same thing then? Because they're already fucking. They already serve Naren technically. They're pledging to Carmen. I mean, working with Carmen and Naren.
Okay.
Yeah.
Apologies.
Anyway, yes, I hope you come to your senses and look at it from a pragmatic view instead of an emotional one. Know full well that I agree with your sentiment that the Penrite people should have a voice. Unfortunately, it's just a dangerous time to do that. You may detriment your entire goal, but two, you might kill thousands of Penrite civilians, and there's no guarantee they'll ever have time to evacuate into the West if we separate, which means most of the children and mothers and they'll all die. And listen, I grew up in war times. I was here when tensions were high. I don't want to see that happen again, and I never see myself working on your plan knowing this war was coming.
They're both Arlo and Mead are staring at you. You see that Arlo is kind of sobered up a little bit, and he's not playing it up anymore, and he's really trying to focus and think as much as he can. Roll diplomacy plus two.
Okay, diplomacy plus two is 14. 7 out of 14. Success of 7.
It was a plus two for Arlo. Secretly a plus three for Mead because he already likes you so much because you talked to him.
Lovely. Yeah, success of 7.
After you finish speaking, you see that Mead is just silently nodding to himself nodding his head up and down. And Arlo stands up, and he reaches out his hand, his open hand, to shake your hand, Pierre.
For the first time in this party, Pierre smiles as he shakes Arlo's hand.
Arlo shakes your hand, and he pulls you in. He pulls you in fiercely, and brings you in for an embrace, and hugs you. And you can hear, or not hear, you can smell the stench of ale and alcohol on his breath as it his breath exudes onto your face. And then his like hot breath breathes against your ear, and then he releases your embrace and he says, "I knew I liked you." Smile. He says, I'm on board completely. We need to go with the West. It sounds like we're not seceding, but and it's still clearly very intoxicated. But this is still change, so.
And it will be good change, I can assure you.
And then Mead, the reader, breaks the silence, or finally speaks, and says, "This isn't going to go over well with most of our base." And Vern nods his head and agrees and says, "Yes, that's why I brought both of you down here." He looks to Arlo and says, "You wield a significant amount of influence over a big portion of our community." And he looks over at me and says, "And somehow you have influence over a few of us as well. Now, here's the issue." He looks at the two of them. "Carl and his supporters are not going to like this at all. I don't know how we would be able to convince them to do this. All they really wanted to do was kill Naren. They thought that would fix everything. They want to secede as well, but that's really been his priority. So if we're working with Naren to bend the knee to the West, and we're not even seceding, they're going to be very angry. They won't get the secession, and they won't get the death of Naren. They won't get anything that they want. So they will be very, very upset with this and leave. That's why, first of all, we can't tell Carl any of the sensitive information we've learned today." He's specifically looking at Arlo, and he like snaps his fingers in front of Arlo and yells at him, like, Arlo, focus, listen to me. Look me in the eyes. We cannot tell Carl any of the sensitive information we heard today. Cannot tell him about the incoming war. Cannot tell him even that Naren plans on bending the knee." He turns to you, Pierre, and says, "You said that he doesn't plan on revealing this."
"It is entirely likely, and we won't know this until we do another meeting, likely with X name for the guy who runs the West. He will likely, as mentioned by my companion here during a meeting, it would be militaristically advantageous for him to swear fealty during the war to capture and encircle armies."
"So, how do we proceed?" Vern says to you guys.
"Well, if you three want to work with me, that's all I need to know. I can go present this information to Naren and Carmen. I'll get their vices. I'll be back with a messenger, and you guys will be invited to meetings, then so on. I just need your pledge I need your pledge that you're going to work with Carmen and you're not going to try to sabotage it. Secondly, I also need to know that Carl's under control. Is he going to do something volatile at all, regardless of whether this information is spilled?"
"Here's my idea," he says to you, Pierre. "If we tell nobody else, not even my wife, that this is the plan, for as long as we can, they won't be upset. They'll know that I'm meeting with Naren, but they won't know the real reason."
"Could you do me a personal favor? In the event that something goes awry and I need to speak with Carl and his closest advisors, could you get me a list of Carl's full name and his list of advisors? I need to know where they live so I can go address them if I need to in a very short amount of time."
This is GM asking. "Are you planning to have Naren kill them if they turn to be a problem?"
"Yes."
"Okay. I need you to roll acting to hide the fact that make it seem inconspicuous.
What is the acting default, and do I have any...
It's an average IQ.
Average IQ? No, I know, yeah, I need the default. It's -4, right?
Let me go find...
Let's see, my IQ...
Also, does it correlate with anything?
That's what I'm...
If this... I don't have the default, but if it makes any sense, I have put 4 points into it, and I have... +1.
Is it a hard skill or a normal skill?
Average.
Average? Okay, then it's -4.
It's performance minus 2, public speaking minus 5, or IQ minus 5. Do you have...
I don't have performance or public, so I'm just going to do the minus 5 to IQ, which makes
I'll give you a plus 1 since this conversation is going so well.
Okay, so that's...
Kind of emboldened by that to make this play.
That's a 9. I need a 9 or less. I am fucking up the command. I rolled a 10.
Vern looks at you as you say this. Another issue is that he rolled 6 on Detect Lies.
He's that good, I guess.
He looks at you when you say this, Pierre, and he says, you need a list of all of them and where they... We don't have a list like that. I could get you the information of... Would you want to speak to Carl? I could tell you where he lives.
I actually would like to, personally. I likely won't tell him anything. I just want to know his plans.
I think it's...
You want to... Okay.
Involve... ourselves with.
Okay, he tells you the address of Carl's abode, the street name, and the number of the house.
Thank you.
Write that down in party notes that you now know where Carl lives. You can also still somewhere possibly get the voter registration, the paper where they wrote all the votes.
I don't know where that shit's gonna be. All right, go. Maybe I'll go ask the wife. Go fucking.
You go fucking sicko on them. All right. And so Vern says, we can't tell... Actually, yeah, Vern says this. We have to limit the number of people who know any of this information.
It's only going to be you three, plus Carmen, plus Naren. We're the only ones who know. I mean, I guess some of Naren's men know. Vaguely, maybe. Right.
Okay. I'll keep pretending that everything is normal then.
Yes, continue doing so.
Yes. And Mead speaks up and he says, so are we all going to be sitting in on these... council meetings, as you call them, or... And he looks to Vern as he says this. Just him.
Well, what could you offer? If you can make a pretty good argument, I'll carry that with me, and maybe you can.
Mead looks to you and embraces himself. Or braces himself, not embraces.
He clones himself, so it's kissy himself.
He braces himself to begin forming an argument very quickly in his head. Yeah. Well, would you like an argument for you, or an argument for him?
Give me...
Something that will convince you, or will convince him?
Give me an argument that will convince Naren. If it were up to me completely alone, you would have already been coming with me.
I know you love Naren. You love me the fucking... Yes! Me the reader, yes! Well, I'm a wise and learned man. Well-traveled. I've been all across the east of Eslandri. I've seen all of what our country has to offer. I'm well-studied. I'm skilled in the art of communication and persuasion and argumentation. You hear Arlo scoff at that behind you. And you yourself think about how he has just enough followers in the Separatist faction that Verm would bring him down here.
You would make for a good orator if we needed you.
Right. And I know what the people of Penwright deep down want. Even if they don't know it themselves. And that is a useful tool for Naren to have in his pocket, knowing what they want so that he can appease them.
I think that's a valid argument. Arlo, I can make an argument for you, considering that you already wanted to unify with the West during your presentations at the...
Exactly!
But, yes, I won't make any promises to you two, but if I will both present your arguments, and if he agrees... Then you can come.
I always knew this guy had my back, even though you supported this fucker. And he points to Vern, and he sort of like stumbles onto onto Vern, like half like falls onto Vern. Vern has to like catch him and send him upright. And then Arlo spins around and points at Roke and says, "Wait, who are you?"
"I'm Roke. I'm with these two."
And he looks to Junie and Pierre and looks back at you, Roke, and his eyes sort of narrow and he seems distrusting of you. And then he breaks into a smile. And reaches out his hand to, like, not even shake it, but to, like, you know, like, when those, like, fucking bros, like, clap their hands together? Exactly.
Yeah, me. I'll give him a big grin, and I'll dap him up back, I guess.
And he pulls you in, and he embraces you as well, and says, "I always knew you would be great help to us." And he releases the embrace, and he begins talking with you, Roke, and asking, like, "Oh, so where are you from?" And just asking you, making small talk. Pierre?
We should cover one last thing before we all separate. Vern, I told you something incredibly important that I hope you're the only one in this room knows other than the other two people I'm with. Do you know what that thing may be?
Am I allowed to say it, or just the fact that I know it?
I just want
to
make sure that... Would you, listen.
They do not know, if that's what you're asking.
Okay.
And Mead looks between the two of you and says, like, back and forth between the two of you and says, like, no, what? What are you talking about?
So, I have something important to tell you, but I highly doubt you will believe it at first. But I'm going to tell you regardless. The only reason we are the messengers and influencers on Naren's decision, not because I'm some, you know, some foreign diplomat or what have you. I'm actually quite, I'm not very social usually. And Junia is not my wife, nor am I related to Roke via blood or they're my follower in a regular sense. These two, including myself, we are the members of the prophecy. And we have actually only influenced Naren's decision purely because he trusts our influence over Penrite. We have a big name to us. So as long as we back him, he'll always, you know, have that name and legitimacy to him. So yes, as hard as it may believe, we are the three in this room, me included, along with two others that you have yet to meet, we are the prophecy.
They seem taken aback, including Arlo. Arlo seems to stop playing it up again and lock in for a second.
Poor fucking Arlo. He's gotten two massive pieces of information dropped on him.
He's trying to have a good time. He spins around, made conversation with you, Rokes. He's like, oh, really, really? Oh, and he turns around and says, what? You two aren't even married?
You're not.
You see, he puts his hand on his forehead, and he, like, he just, like, rubs his face and is, like, shaking his head, and he says, okay, are we done? Is there anything else? I need a drink.
How about you three... Go get drunk and pretend this never happened.
All right, I'm not much of a drinker.
Forget it ever happened.
Says Art. Says
it's kind of important. Well, that's you do know this.
Pretend keep an eye on him.
For as long as you can, pretend this never happened until I need you.
All right, and the three of them, Vern opens the door and lets the fucking, what, five of you out, and then follows behind you. You see, there's this young, like, teenage boy with short brown hair, picking up a keg, and he looks over and he sees the seven. He sees the door scrape open, and six men and one woman.
Oh. Right,
seven of you? No, there's six of you. Yes,
there's six,
five men and one woman pour out of the out of the cellar, and he just looks really startled and confused as all of you pour out, and he recognizes, like, what's that, Arlo? Is that? Or is that fucking Mead?
One hell of a party.
And the door scrapes closed. And Vern leads you all out. And he turns to you. And he says, it's now like 10 in the evening.
Shit.
It's getting very late. They're getting pretty late. And yep. he turns to you and says, are you going to be... any of you going to be staying here?
Nah, I got to get back to the castle pretty soon.
Alright, that's what I assumed.
You
well,
need something?
No. I was just wondering. Good travels, Pierre and Junia, and you said it was Roke?
Yeah.
Nice to meet you, Roke. He reaches out his hand to shake your hand.
It's always a pleasure, Mead.
Stay safe.
Yeah, Mead looks back to you and he says, good luck on your journeys, Pierre. I hope we get to see more of each other in the future.
I hope so too.
And you see that Arlo has fallen into a bush by the fence. That separates that surrounds the perimeter of this yard, and is laying face first in the bush, and he seems to be that he has fallen asleep.
Guys,
yes,
hey Jack. Thinking of what I could do, and you gave me the perfect opportunity.
Oh no,
we want to visit Carl tonight.
No,
I actually am not planning to ever visit Carl. I'm probably just gonna give that name to Naren.
Well, okay. Hear me out.
This very long.
Can I bring up an idea out of character? Or do you want me to just do it in character? It'd be really awkward to do it in character.
Well, let's get outside first if you bring it in character.
Well, I'm asking. Probably, Jack.
Okay, hold on. Let me
wait,
just.
What
say,
are you asking?
What is the idea?
We want a list, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The list is likely to be here, to be honest.
Yeah, but you know who would also have a list is probably Carl.
I doubt he would give it. Carl's not here. We would have to essentially lie.
Give it to us.
Unless you could sit there and lie straight for like 3 hours as he interrogates you. No.
Well, what if we show up with this conveniently placed drunk past doubt man and say, "Do you know where this man lives? Do you have a list so we can escort the rest of your people back to their homes?"
No.
That'd be
crazy.
Would not work. He already hates us.
Okay.
He's the
issue. Oh, okay. He already hates you. I don't know anything about Carl.
Yeah, no, he hates us because we made the other guy win. And Carl lost because of Pierre's intervention.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, we should. I still, as Rogue, would like to help this Arlo who has just fallen into a bush up and put him into a seat.
You sort of shake him and he wakes up instantly. He's like, "What? Oh, hey, it's you! I just met you!
Hey! Best friends, hey?"
And he takes your hand and you lift him up and he says, "Hey, let's go get a mug, eh?"
You'll have to do that on your own, buddy. I gotta get out of here.
Alright, that's too bad. I'll see you around, eh?
I'll tap him up again.
Yeah, sweet. You guys have a little thing now.
Alright, unless you two have anything you want to do, I'm trying to get out of here.
As do I. I feel like I won't be able to hold on much anymore.
6 FP currently.
Yeah, let's get home.
You guys are tired. It's
been a long day of fucking... We never, before this, we waited for like 6 hours straight, like doing medical work at Carmen's camp while we waited for...
On our way out,
Didn't you like brutally like maul somebody by accident?
Yeah.
Well,
what?
Oh, wait. Holy shit, Jack.
Yeah?
On our way out, can I piece together that we're looking for some kind of list and see if there's any kind of list for people to sign in?
Roll a number.
Just a thought I had. Sorry for dragging it out. I got an 8.
Yeah, there's no list to sign or anything. Honestly, this place is very easy to like...
Yeah, I just didn't know if there was like I came to this party and I live here.
Yeah, it's really like a public thing. Honestly, you don't know how many people here aren't separatists. And honestly, you're wondering, maybe this is how they recruit, is they bring you in, they fundraise through the ale and requesting donations, and then they give new members free ale and talk to them, and then you're wondering, like, maybe this is how they've been recruiting, is Vern's little alehouse parties.
I learned something.
I think,
all right, let's get out of here.
You get out. Would you like... I have one idea that we could do for this session. Would you like to go back to the castle and quickly tell Naren?
Yes. Okay. I'm hoping that we could have done that before we move to the next session.
Because then the next session is just kind of
those
things.
Yeah, so happy to be out of here.
I know, right? It was hot and sweaty in there.
It was very hot.
I'm still concealing my mug. At my
home. Rogue, what do you got there? Are you hiding something?
No, of course not.
Oh, okay, never mind.
If you say so.
Are you actually stealing their mug, Rick?
Yes!
You see, that's gonna ruin the entire lines. She's gonna wonder where her mug went.
Did you steal a mug from my house?
Fuck you, we're succeeding.
It so many times throughout the night.
Untrustworthy.
Alright.
Alright, so, you arrive back to the castle. Takes about 30 minutes to get there. You arrive... You're let back in the castle. How do you want to find Naren? And who is going to come to speak to Naren? Is anyone just going to retire to their rooms immediately, or are all three of you going?
I don't believe... I'll just let Pierre do it. You know, he's the leader.
Okay, cool, I got
Rogue. Go to Naren's study. Also, Jack, just because I did this on accident, and because I think it's better, personally, for my insomnia, I would like to just decrease it by one every... Right now, it says to decrease it by one every 4 hours. When I'm low on sleep with insomnia.
When I'm low by one every hour?
Yeah. Because I usually, by the end of the day, I have, like, none. And there's nothing until I get to, like, 5.
Well,
there's no penalty.
Okay, reminder, though. If you drop to 3, like, you're basically not functioning.
I'll do one every 2 hours. For now.
Because the rule is if you drop to 0 FP, you have cardiac arrest and die.
Also, don't forget, if you go in combat, you lose FP at an accelerated rate.
Yep.
Or run or anything.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, I'll do it one every... Yeah.
Okay. I would just follow the rules. Generally, anytime we deviate from the GURPS book, we learn 6 months later that we should not have done that.
Makes sense, okay.
It's all put together, but... If you deviated from too much, the house of cards crumbles, and you're like, "Oh shit, we shouldn't have been having strength be a skill for hitting with a weapon." That's fucking dumb.
All right, look for Naren's.
All right, all three of you are going.
I want to check.
I suppose if Rogue is going, I'll come with.
I'll definitely want to check the throne first, just because I know it's late, but I also know Naren's fucking weird.
I was just thinking that, like, he would be the kind of guy to sit on this throne at 10:30, think to himself.
So just in case, we'll check the throne and then check his room.
You enter Naren's keep. It's dead. silent. You don't even hear mice squeaking and scurrying. You hear nothing but the occasional boots of a guard walking, holding a torch, illuminating his path as he goes, or a servant walking, carrying something or cleaning something. And you head to his his hall, his main hall, where his throne is, and see, yes, you go to the main hall, and you see that sitting in near total darkness, the only light is from the moonlight shining through the windows. Naren is sitting in his baggy long clothing, sitting on the throne, leaning on one hand, staring out in front of him.
I stop my right foot and put my hand up and say, "My liege."
He looks to you casually as if he was expecting you, and as if you're just something boring that doesn't interest him. And you immediately also see, all three of you see, that his personal guard, Florin, is standing next to him as always.
I love that guy.
And he doesn't say anything. You just see, you barely see in the darkness, the shape of his hand extend in front of him, and then his hand makes a come here gesture motion.
I approach Naren.
He says, as you approach, he says, "What do you have to report?"
"I carry information about the Separatists and their involvement with the plans on Carmen, with Carmen. I also carry the name of the man who wanted you dead."
He looks to Roke and says, "Close the door."
I will happily oblige and close the door.
Roke, you all stand in awkward silence as you just hear the sound of Roke's boots clattering against the floor of the hall. As he walks over to the door, closes it, slams it shut. You turn around and you begin walking back, and he says, "Lock it too." And then you stop.
Yep.
And turn around, approach the door, lock it. You pull over the thick iron rod that locks it, and turn around and walk back. And he waits for Roke to return, and he says, "All right, report."
"So, tonight I spoke with the leaders of the Separatists, Vern, Arlo, and Mead. Is their names. They were informed that we were no longer working with them, but that you have agreed to work with Carmen in hopes that they would help us. They carry a lot of influence, as you know, and that if we could get them to work with Carmen, it would be a net positive. They agreed, wholeheartedly. Under the condition...
Really?
Yes, 100%. Under the condition that you allow Vern, Arlo, and Mead to sit on council with meetings with Carmen and leaders in the West so that they know the information going forward so that they can ensure that whatever is going on, that they can do their best to adhere to it.
On my council?
Yes. Specifically the meetings with Carmen is what I had told. I only promised this to Vern. Without that, he likely would have agreed. I did not promise it to Mead and Arlo, but I don't see a reason not to allow them, especially Arlo, who had already made the argument that we should unify with the West anyway. His base already agrees with the West.
Who is Mead?
He's a much smaller figure in the Separatist environment. He's a interesting person, and he's a good orator. So if we needed to make any public announcements that didn't come from you, I would prefer it actually be him, if not Carmen.
But is he popular? Well-known?
People know him. He's in the Separatist Council, and he's not as popular as Arlo or Vern, but he's certainly in the Council. He's also not Carl. I should probably let you know something.
Yes.
So, as you know, there's an individual who led a party who wants your death. They weren't exactly Separatists, per se. They agreed with Separatism, but that was not their main focus. Their main focus was to kill you, and to install someone else to replace you. I have brought you the name and address of the leader. I don't have any more information on his closest council, but I'm sure a night in the prison or a few weeks in torture could possibly pry that information out. And I give him the slip that I wrote the address down.
You see, he takes it. He turns to Florin and reaches out the piece of the parchment. Florin, this is one of the very few times you've seen Florin move, as his muscles, his hand, the muscles in his arm, bring his hand up to receive the parchment. He unfurls it and looks at it. And Naren, he looks up to Naren, and Naren, their eyes meet, and he says, "Take care of him." And Florin nods his head, and you hear the metal armor clank as he steps to the door, unlocks it, opens it, and leaves and closes it behind him. And
then Naren lock it again, says,
"Yeah, yeah, actually." I was about to say that. He looks down and says, "He nods."
You turn around.
Roll body language minus one, Roke.
Yeah, success by one.
Right.
You notice, for just a flicker, you caught Naren off guard. He was not expecting that.
Wear him down.
Roke did not grow up like around any nobility. So he has no clue how to act around
it. Most people in this goddamn party have no idea how to act around nobility.
Yeah.
He was just trying to be polite.
Oh, no. Yeah, he definitely yeah, likes it.
I know.
So yeah, you walk over all the way over again, lock it, walk all the way over again. Half this meeting is just people walking to that door and back.
It's just, no, not people, it's me.
And, all right, Florin doesn't count as a person. He's not human.
No, he didn't want.
He's just a fucking specter.
He just walked to that door. Panel.
Animated armor.
He. So yeah, he looks down. And he says, "I will let one of them sit on my meetings, specifically with Carmen. They won't have a seat on my council.
Of course not, my liege.
But they will. They can meet with me and with Carmen. So out of the three that you've named."
It has to be,
who should it be that I speak
with? It has to be Vern. Although he was not the one who made the West argument, as did Arlo, he does have the biggest.
Yes.
But
I'm glad you said that.
Advise you either way, my liege, that having all three would be beneficial and have no negatives whatsoever. They're already entrusted with the plan. I can assure you of their loyalty.
That was my next question. They may be loyal. Are their followers going to be?
Well, I'll have you know for now that they will never say anything about the plan until they're informed of what the decision they need to do is. This is why putting them in the in meetings is important. If they know what they need to do, they can go do so with their supporters. And I also think that taking care of Carl and his base is the best way for you. Otherwise, I doubt having that interference with people who dislike you would be any good.
Roll diplomacy minus four.
Holy shit. this would be for eight. Let's do this. 14. No.
He looks at you and says, "I will let Vern sit on some of my council meetings whenever I decide."
Of course.
He can delegate whatever information he ascertains from them, so long as he's not a nuisance or a distraction or a security risk.
I don't question your judgment, my liege.
He seems almost stressed. He seems very, very tired as he's sitting here. His eyes are... There's bags under his eyes, and he just seems very drained. And he puts his chin in his hand and rubs it and thinks, lots to think about. You see, he just says that to no one in particular. He's just staring out into space.
My liege, if there is one more thing I can add...
Yes.
I advise you to ensure to take care of yourself, to get proper sleep and food and water. You need to be full of energy in order to take on the next few weeks.
I have good news for you.
Yes, my liege.
He looks down and smiles. In the night, we caught the Westerling. Right. Oh. The one who burnt the camp. He's in the dungeons as we speak. Soon I'll bring him out and speak to the people and have him hung.
Are we allowed to interrogate him first? We have a Westerling who speaks their language in our party.
No. He spoke English perfectly well.
He was very give you a name?
He was very aggressive.
Hold on one second. Yeah. Yeah, they're somewhere over there.
Jake, how dare you do this to me?
What did you say? I know, I'm busy.
I must know.
Sorry, I'm back. What did he say again?
He spoke English perfectly well.
That's what I said, yeah. He spoke... Yeah. I say English, lol.
Yes, he said English.
He spoke common.
He spoke common. He spoke our tongue. Saxon. He spoke our tongue perfectly well. He looks at you, Roke. And then just looks away, back to Pierre and then Junia.
I have to inform you something, my liege.
Fuck.
Yes.
If you don't let our Westerlings, I think it would be best if we could get more insight on the tension in the West. I think that can only be possible through the voice of another Westerling.
Wait, sorry, say that?
If you let our Westerlings speak with him, that we could gain more insight on the tension of the guy who... of the Westerling who burned down the camp.
I doubt it. He didn't tell us anything.
We're not his people.
No matter what we did.
My liege, we're not his people. He will be startled to see another Westerling. He'll likely say something that's different to what he told you.
The answer is no.
Okay, my liege.
You will see him when justice is served.
Yes, my liege.
And he smiles to you.
Do you want him to speak?
What?
Do you want him? Do you want to know anything from him?
It's nothing I really need to know. Whether or not I know why he burnt down Carmen's camp doesn't change the fact that he did.
Pierre completely.
Get good sleep tonight.
Pierre starts leaving.
Good night.
Hey, Junior, you say that. He looks at you and says, good night, Junior.
Fuck, what do we... I don't even know if we should tell Tariq. I don't
find... I'm gonna be... as we leave, I go to Pierre. Was it... Maybe we should have... Maybe killing Kyle immediately isn't the best idea.
Likely not, but if I were to withhold that information from Naren, I'd probably get all our heads cut off, so... We gotta play at the palace here. We cannot underestimate the threat to ourselves here. To pretend that this is only gonna harm the people of Penrite is there are other things at risk here. There's us, integrity of the city, there's the integrity of the world. There's a lot at play.
Truly wonder how Graham dealt with all of these things at home.
Point being, none of you, and I mean it, none of you say a word. Greek does not know that they've been caught. Do we see justice being served? And we will not act as if we saw or knew this information until we saw justice being served. You hear me?
I need to see that man.
All right.
I kind of look behind me to make sure we're in an enclosed hallway. You will not go behind Naren's back and speak to that Westerling. I forbid you to.
You can't forbid me to do anything.
Yes, I can.
I need to see him.
Yes.
We will, with everything we've been working for, will be sabotaged by showing that we do not trust Naren's judgment.
Well, I'm not going to be, whatever.
Anyway, to bed, all of you.
So wait, did you guys talk about whether or not you should tell Tariq?
I
won't. Yes, I won't tell Tariq, but I want to see that man very badly.
You know what's that's so funny. Just Susie in real life now does not know.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
This is perfect.
Really perfect, yeah.
Oh, that means Susie's character and Susie herself will not see that Westerling until he's on the fucking gallows.
Yeah, make sure don't mention it.
I'm never going to mention it out of character. I'm never going to mention that
I know, because you have to wait 6 months before we get to that.
Yeah. It's going to be fucking
March. I gotta forget about it.
By the time we play our next session.
Loka's going to fucking kill himself after hearing this, and then Tariq's going to eventually tell him what Carmen told him, Rourke's gonna kill himself.
Oh god, no, there's some crazy shit. I feel really, really bad, but I'm playing into Pierre.
You're good. I understand that. I was really tempted to just, as you two walked out, to just stay in the room with Naren and just say, I was gonna say something, I really need to see him, and then give a reason. But
I'm trying to play into the, because it doesn't make a lot of sense for Pierre.
Yeah, because Pierre doesn't know.
Yeah, so I'm trying to play into it, but also not be too harsh.